Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello, welcome to Jurassic Pod, coming to you, I'm coming to you live from the City of Angels, the City of Scotty Barnes, the City of Pascal Siakam, Los Angeles.
from a beautiful hotel room.
I don't know why I'm looking so blue, like literally blue in this lighting, but we'll put it through. I can't begin to explain that because the windows are open, some lights are on, and yet I look like I'm sitting in like the dark. It's really not that dark in here. People said it couldn't be done, Holly. By the way, Holly McKenzie joining us. Thank you. How you doing, Holly?
I'm great, thanks.
People said it couldn't be done. People said my anxiety could not manifest a cough on the road. And like a tiny sore throat, and despite testing negative twice for COVID over the span of 36 hours, they said it couldn't be done, and that's when I took it personally. Like I took it personally, Holly, and I am now confident that my anxiety is a legitimate power source. It's you know we don't need to rely on oil. We can just hook things up to me and make it happen. What do you think about that?
I think that our bodies are extremely powerful and few things are more powerful than anxiety. So I believe you. I'm very sorry you have a cough and I would not want to be in your shoes because I'm already a paranoid person. So yeah, I would be very scared.
Yeah, I did bring it up, I mean, mostly to complain, but also if I'm coughing a little bit or you hear some clearing of throat, also if you hear a fan go on and off, I tried to deal with that, but this is not my home. It is a hotel room and I don't want to fiddle with things too
much. We're good, Eric. Something. You don't need to apologize. You're here. Yeah. We're going to chat. It's going to be great.
You know who's not good? Holly.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
LeBron James. Well, I mean, on the big picture, LeBron's fine, I think. But he was having a moment on Monday night when the Raptors beat the Los Angeles Lakers 114 to 103 to cap a perfect 4-0 week. just like we both predicted. Please don't go. Back and listen to the last podcast and just assume that we predicted that after they went 0-3, we both said they're going to bounce right back. They're going to go 4-0. We both said it. LeBron, that was, for Raptors fans, gratifyingly frustrated last night. I think there had to be some, it's not quite Schadenfreude, because like there is Raptors pleasure to take in it, but I'm sure some people did find pleasure in LeBron's misfortune.
You know what last night was from LeBron? It was bullshit.
If I had like the air horn, like the talk radio air horn, I would do that. You and my brother agree. I don't want to stop you there, Holly. Go on.
Listen. How many hours has it been since the game? Like 13, probably about 13 hours since
the game ended about, 12 and a half hours.
Yeah. So probably about 13 and a half hours since he had the ball above his head and took all of his frustration of the week and threw the ball at Scotty Barnes' midsection so it wouldn't go out of bounds off of him. And I'm still very upset at that play. I'm not upset that he threw the ball off his opponent. I'm not upset that he made a play that allowed him to retain possession. I am upset with the fact that he could have injured Scotty. I mean, he's a really strong dude.
Yeah.
And that was so...
Nobody touched Scotty basketball. Now everybody protect him at all costs.
That was so unnecessary. And you could see that it was like the result of like all of his built up frustration. And let me tell you, there's lots of reasons why LeBron James would be frustrated on the basketball court this week, because the Lakers, whew, I don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. Nothing is going on. But yeah, I was angry when that happened. I am still very annoyed. I saw Scottie's reaction after the game when he was asked.
Yeah, about I have the quote in front of me. So yeah. Let me just say it. He, you know, wearing a vest and wearing like comically large gloves. He almost looked like Scottie Barnes's post game looked like a villain, kind of, even like a sort of a campy villain. And then Precious Achiuwa was in all black, as I joked, attending the funeral for the Lakers season. And I asked him after the game if that was his Los Angeles fit. And he said, you know it. Anyway, Barnes said, I was on the floor, pushed on the floor, and I just saw him loading up.
He pushed me on the floor.
I'm just reading the transcription as it is in my document here. But thank you for the correction. I just saw him loading up. And I just thought, oh, man. So I just tried to really cover myself up so it didn't hit me in the face because, yeah, he put a lot of power in it. Cocked it back, threw it, bam.
Legit. That is a very accurate description of what happened. And even more damning, I think, for just to go with my emotions and your brother's emotions. I forget who it was. It may have been Vivek.
Jacobs,
who posted, like, maybe it wasn't Vivek, but it could have been Vivek. Vivek's on my mind today, but they posted a screenshot of the moment, like a certain camera angle, and you see he has like two teammates that are right in front of him and wide open that he could have just given the pass to, and they probably could have just gotten a layup, but instead he chose to fling the ball off Scottie. And it was Vivek Jacobs who did tweet, I do remember this. He said, if everyone wants to constantly like praise LeBron for being able to make these incredible passes, like to his teammates, always on the money, then you also have to like acknowledge that he could have made the pass here. Like essentially he knew what he was doing, and he did know what he was doing. And I had to explain to my mother, who was awake at 1:30 Nova Scotia time, texting me furiously, that LeBron should be thrown out of the game. I had to explain to her that like that is a play that is allowed. It's quote unquote a basketball play. He's keeping the ball. He's taking the ball out off of his opponent out of bounds. I'm not able to say that today. I don't know.
I guess the point is it was a basketball play, but it was not the only basketball play available. And Vivek's point is, James can see the floor so well that you would expect him to be able to make the basketball play that was not risking injuring a person on the other team, with also a little extra zing on that.
Still upset about that.
LeBron, I mean, because I think Raptors fans really want to luxuriate in it, given, you know, what's happened in the past. There was a play in the second quarter where, you know, if you didn't see the game, the Raptors got up 21-2, 24-4, right after Frank Vogel, Lakers coach, was done saying, we've just gotten a lot of 20-point deficits, and that really takes a toll on you. It happened in the first 28 points of the game. They were in a 20-point deficit, so you got to respect that. At a night after they allowed 48 points and like 140 total or something like that in Phoenix, LeBron was questionable. He played because you can't keep that guy out of a lineup. He just wants to do it or catch Kareem for the scoring record. Hard to say. But there was a point in the second quarter where the Raptors were done doing their most of their damage. Basically, the first quarter happened and then the rest of the game was played in a safe zone of like 6-25 point leads. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really in risk, but there was a point in the second quarter where the Lakers were making a bit of a run, and then Chris Boucher like outworked a bunch of guys to get an offensive rebound and draw a foul, and LeBron got like the loose ball after the whistle was called, and he just smashed it to himself three times off the hardwood, and just was like yelling at anybody in sight. And like poor Malik Monk, who's like walking back across.
Also,
the
one of the only Lakers who was like,
hey. yeah, that's true. And poor Malik Monk, who's like walking across the paint, trying to get in position for the free throws, is just like getting the brunt of it. And he's just like nodding. Yeah, I hear you, LeBron. I got it, LeBron. I hear you. I guess he was annoyed that he wasn't helping out on the rebound. But, I to think it was only about that is foolish.
Yeah, he was frustrated. I mean, and it makes sense. Like, of course he's frustrated. But I'm still upset at the throw to at Scottie.
Yeah. Before we move on from LeBron, this is nominally a Raptors podcast. Any thoughts on the elbow on Pascal Siakam?
Yeah, like I said, the whole game it was bullshit. That's my take on the game. Wasn't a fan.
I've watched the replay. I still can't decide if it was. I mean, I don't think it was purposeful.
But normally, like, I feel like
was it careless? Probably.
I feel like it happened. It could have happened. But then you say, sorry, man, you good?
Yeah, no. But that's the point. LeBron is not good.
But that is the point. And I think in a normal game, he would. Because normally I don't have these issues with LeBron, which is why it was so weird watching that. Because normally I don't feel frustrated with him. I think he's incredible. He is incredible. But
and to further... Sorry, go on.
No, I was very annoyed last night. As I'm sure the Lakers were annoyed. And you mentioned the play where he was really upset about the offensive rebounding. That really was one of the glaring differences that I saw early on. Like, you could just... The Raptors were crashing the boards on both ends. The Lakers, there was nobody. Like, obviously the Raptors were bigger, but there was literally nobody. So he was correct to be upset about that. But he was upset about a lot of things and was turning it into Malik Monk not being on the boards.
Well, and also, like, LeBron drove one play, didn't get the whistle, like, just stood on the baseline for a good 3 or 4 seconds. And the Raptors fast break happened slowly enough that, like, he could have gotten back in the play, but he really didn't. And it ended up with a Thad Young layup or tip-in, I can't remember. And so he's also got some hustle issues, too.
Yeah, it was bad.
As I think Stephen or Alex Wong tweeted while the Lakers were getting killed by Phoenix, oh great, good news for the Lakers, the team that's given up on a season is about to play the team that plays really hard every game. That's gonna go well. And that's essentially what happened in the first quarter, and then the rest of the game happened. And, you know, credit to the Lakers, they didn't totally go away, but yeah, that
I just can't get over it. I know we've given like 10 minutes to this and we can wrap it up in a second. But that first quarter, the rest of the game, like you said, was like much more evenly played. It was two NBA teams playing. That first quarter, which I didn't realize Vogel had told you guys about the 20-point deficits, which just makes it more perfect nightmare.
Oh, I was it's like you weren't following me on Twitter last night because I was on 20-point deficit watch almost immediately.
I did see the thread that you had, but I guess I must have missed the original bit about Vogel.
That's fine. Yeah.
But that first quarter, the Lakers honestly, like, remember the game the Raptors played against the Cavs during COVID where they had like four players who met each other on the court or on the bus on the way over, had never met each other, never spoken, never played together. That team looked more cohesive than the Lakers in that first quarter. I couldn't believe it. Like, it was crazy to me that this was the team that had played together all season. Just wild.
The Raptors hung around in the first quarter in that game before getting the doors blown off. And to underscore the frustration, LeBron did not talk to the media after the game. So congratulations, Raptors fans. The Raptors broke LeBron.
You did it.
yeah, great. So my next question, as you wanted... asked to you are or is the question is Holly, what are your thoughts on the trip so far?
What the F is this, OG?
Did we get permission from Serge to use that?
We didn't, but I think that he would support it in this instance. It's just available on YouTube, so I think it's available to all of us.
It should be fine. Yeah. Our
we miss him.
Yeah. Yeah, Serge and Brook Lopez is back, so he's going to be playing a bit less for the Milwaukee Bucks, but he gets to go try to win another ring, and that generally captures the vibe. I mean, we were talking ourselves into the Raptors maybe beating the Spurs last week if Fred was available off his, Fred Van Vliet was available off his five-game absence. He was, they did. Mm-hmm. I almost predicted a win in Phoenix, if you remember, mm-hmm. and then like had that moment of common sense. And I was like, nah, they're the best team in the league. Like, even without Chris Paul, they're playing awesome. They beat Miami by like 30 two nights prior. But they win in Phoenix in a great game. They almost blew the league. Gary Trent, 42 points. I've never been so sure, except when they play Detroit, that they were going to lose a game in Denver on a back-to-back. They win that game 127-115 with the weirdest lineup of a year of weird lineups.
Also, no Fred.
And I believe it was a 24-10 run. There were no shooters on the floor, and they had like an 177 offensive rating in 8 minutes. To run, almost literally run away with that one. After that game, I wrote that the Raptors are unknowable, weird, delightful weirdos, and we should just enjoy the ride. And that's why I sort of thought they would lose to the, you know, hapless Lakers with them on a back-to-back. But instead, that was the most normal game of the bunch, I think. Raptors try hard, Lakers look lost and angry, and yeah, they are one game away, Clippers on Wednesday night from a 5-1 road trip, and a 4-0 road trip if we're cutting it to the Mountain and Pacific time zones. The vibes, Holly, they are immaculate.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It would have been better if the Clippers had beaten the Cavs last night. They went into overtime, and the Cavs ended up winning. So that was a little bit of a bummer, because it would have been really cool for the Raptors to meet them in the standings. But still lots of time. Not lots of time, but still time. There's still time. This trip has been ridiculous. And to your point about the Denver game, oh yeah, talk about circling a loss on the schedule. During the Suns game, I was texting with my mom. And this road trip has been very difficult on her, by the way, because yeah. Nova Scotia is an hour ahead of us, so... Like, last night's game didn't tip till 11:30 there. The fact that my mother now stays up to watch games that go till 2 a.m. is bonkers to me. But anyway.
Add in the spring forward, too.
Yeah. Yeah, she was pretty tired. She told me at halftime she was going to go to sleep. And then as the LeBron stuff happened, I was getting angry texts from her. So we're not the only ones that want to protect Scotty. No, but I was explaining to her, like, Denver's going to be a loss. Like, they have to win. Like, when they were up against the Suns, I was like, they have to hold on for this because they're going to lose tomorrow. It's in Denver. You have the altitude. It's back-to-back. You have Jokic. Come on. They're going to lose. And then they, like, played this incredible game that fourth quarter with Pascal on the bench for much of the fourth quarter. They end up outscoring Denver 34-16 in the fourth. I don't know if Jokic scored in the fourth. It was just...
I'm not sure if he did either. I feel like... He didn't come back into the game until there were about 6 minutes in the game. So just a lot of the damage had been done, but yeah.
Just an incredible performance from the group that was out there. And seeing Precious, 4 3-pointers, okay, awesome, great. And
he wasn't even in that group to provide the spacing. I did a chart about it in that article I was referring to on The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic. As far as I know, still $1 a month for 6 months for new subscribers. But I referred to the lineup that played at the start of the fourth quarter as the five-in lineup, because they had, I don't know, after the game at least, the five players out there had taken a combined 47 pull-up three-pointers in the whole season, and like 24 of them were Scotty. So basically, like, the only guy who's like a ready and willing three-point shooter who was out there was Chris Boucher. Mm-hmm. And as we know, he hasn't been particularly good at it, although he hit one after Scotty Barnes got his own rebound, which was, you know, sort of the dagger if you will. I've since been made aware that that was also the fifth and seven games for Denver. So they have, like LeBron throwing the ball at Scotty, they have plausible deniability as far as reason for losing that game. And they did come back and go across the country and beat Philly mm-hmm. in the battle of the mm-hmm. MVP candidates. But, I mean, it's not like the Raptors were in much better shape. Certainly missing one of their, you know, two most important players. And yeah, so is there one moment on this trip that really...
And also OG. OG has been out for all of these games.
Yeah, so. Let's not forget yeah. that. Is there one moment that really stands out to you on this trip? Or it could be a player or...
Yeah, I think it's it's just been Scotty. Yeah. Like, honestly, just seeing the things that he's able to do and the way he's able to shapeshift his game depending on what the team needs from him. For so young to be able to do so many different things and kind of recognize what they need from him, you're really seeing, like, why the Raptors selected him and why they had such high hopes for him. And wow, it's fun. I mean, against Denver, he had 25 points, 10 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, a block, just 1 turnover. Like, man, he is so good. And I just feel like you just are really, especially the games on the road. I don't know what it is about that. Maybe it's just my mind. Maybe it's just something that I'm creating. But it feels like on the road, that guy is just so calm, doesn't get rattled, figures it out. He's incredible. It's so exciting. Like, I feel like Raptors fans, I think they do feel lucky, but like they should feel like even 10 times luckier because wow.
Yeah. So I don't have the post All-Star numbers in front of me. So we're missing 3 games after the break, and that included 2 28 point games. So keep that in mind. In the month of March, in 8 games, Scotty Barnes is averaging 18.6 points, 8.5 rebounds, 4.1 assists per game, not even 2 turnovers per game, more than a block and a steal per game, shooting 51% from the floor, getting to the line 3.5 times per game, which is trending in the right direction. And he's just... That aggressiveness, as Nick Nurse said, is something they've been talking about all year, like especially when they're missing guys like Scotty, take your chances. Mm-hmm. It's cool. We want to see you grow. You could see it with the Lakers game. There was none of that waiting for the second half and sort of feeling out the game as we saw against San Antonio when Van Vliet returned. Barnes had a huge second half after, I think, a 2-point first half. And, you know, he outscored the Lakers by himself in the first quarter on Monday. And that is, especially playing, you know, not to bring it back to LeBron, but, like, you have to think about it. Like, we remember basketball without LeBron, Holly, mm-hmm. not to age us. Scotty Barnes doesn't. I'm just going to go ahead and say, like, he's 20, which means he was born in either 2001 or 2002, which is disturbing. You know, LeBron came into the league in 2003. So there is no basketball without LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. to go at him, not only at him, but at his team, like, it's not like it was a one-on-one right. matchup. He just said... he talked about it after the game. He said, I would say this era of basketball, we really have just seen him and a lot of how he dominated the league. And of course, as a young player coming in, it's always a hype game to play with him. I would say it was a big game out there playing against him, and we did what we needed to do. And like, you know, it's Scotty. He's not going to. Yeah, I think we learned a lot about him, about sort of the lack of reaction to getting getting the ball whipped at him. But, you know, that just shows, yeah, it does affect him on some level. He does think about it at some level, but he's certainly not going to play scared. And that's a guy learning his role on a team, learning how to put himself into the game in a meaningful way to help his team, as opposed to just facilitating or just figuring out what he can do after everybody else has sort of led the charge. And it's really great to see, because, you know, I think we agree that the Raptors' ceiling, not this year necessarily, but long term, is defined in large part by Scotty Barnes learning to impose his will on a game. Mm-hmm.
Not to go back to the Lakers, but of course we're going to go back to the Lakers. We mentioned that crazy start and the Raptors led, I think it was 33-12 after one. Just to highlight how great of a start that Scottie had in that game. Scottie had 15 points in the first quarter. He shot 7 of 8 from the floor. The Lakers as a team had 12 points and they were 3 for 25 from the floor. Yeah. I honestly thought Scottie was going I thought he was going for 40 last night. I really did. Yeah. And then he got picked up that third foul and they challenged it. And I still didn't see the foul. But yeah, I thought he was going for 40. I was like hyped on my couch. I was really into it. And yeah, he's just magic. He's just magical. Yeah.
No, magic is a Hall of Famer. 0 for 13 for the Lakers in the first quarter from three, mm-hmm. which is, according to Dave McMenamin of ESPN, the most three-pointers a team has ever attempted in a first quarter without making one.
Dave had a thread of Laker tweets. We love Dave here. The funniest part was the last line of all of his.
I love how we've threatened to stop talking about the Lakers.
I know. All this I'm sorry. Listen.
No. It's okay. Let's just lead into it. Go ahead.
The best was that the end of each tweet, like the last sentence of each tweet, was 14 games left. There are 14 games left this season. The yeah. Lakers Whether have 14 was... games remaining. Like you could feel the emotion of just like. This season, like get me to the end of this season. Yeah
Whether it was Dave, whether it was the Athletics, Joe Van Buha, good to see him too. You could sense the vibes.
The vibes were not immaculate.
Yeah Joe Van was just like saying, I don't think I'm speaking terribly out of turn. He's like, yeah, this team is like sapping the joy of basketball out of me.
And
it was something like that, and he does a great job. And but, you know, he was in Phoenix on Sunday night, and to go from, he was like, I didn't think they could play a worst first quarter than they did. And I don't know which one was worst. I'm not going to stack them up. They were different, that's for sure. Not great, Bob.
But Scotty's great, and Scotty's a Raptor. Excited about Scotty Barnes.
Raptors. Frank Vogel's definitely counting the days till the end of the season, until he can get fired and collect that money. I try not to make fun of people getting fired, but I think he's probably genuinely excited about it. Precious Achiuwa got the was the primary guy on LeBron on Monday. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of face guarding going on, which was interesting. And Precious, good defender. And he's sometimes a bit jumpy, but I think that's not where the concern is, because he's got that, can sort of, maybe he's not guarding point guards out there, but, if a guy is 6'6 or 7 feet, he can defend any of them not as well as anybody, but certainly very well. But offense, as we know, is the question with him. I have a great Fred VanVleet quote that we can get back to at the end of this. But in March, Precious Achiuwa, on 3.1 attempts per game, is shooting 44% from three. And that's after an 0-for-3 against the Lakers. He had, as you mentioned, 4 against Denver on Saturday, whatever day that was, 3 against the Spurs. He had 3 against Brooklyn in Brooklyn, and then a few more sprinkled in there. We know the deal with three-pointers. High variance shots will vary highly. Scottie Barnes had that great stretch shooting the ball earlier in the year, and it sort of seems like it's inching its way back up as a three-point shooter, but he basically went 2 months without really having any confidence there. But as I said with Scottie Barnes in one of my pieces, the fact that he can do this makes it very, very intriguing for the future about, especially as he matures as a player and a decision maker about what he can become. Because if a 6'8 guy with great feet and, enough athleticism and size to guard centers, can shoot three, shoot a league average three, even if it's just corner threes or whatever. You got a very interesting player there.
You do, and you also have a player that the Raptors need. They definitely
Well, these Raptors for sure need them. Yes.
they really do need that 3-point shooting. So it's been awesome to see Precious since the All-Star break. Like, he's been very good, and that first quarter against the Lakers, he was really feeling himself. And when Precious is feeling himself, you don't know what's gonna happen. He had some wild a few wild drives, but no, he's been really, really good, and it's been really, really fun to see. He finished with a double double in LA. I wanted to mention, sorry to switch the topic, I do want you to say your Fred quote, but when we were talking about Denver, we didn't mention Chris Boucher had a great line against the Nuggets. Finished with 21, 13, 4 blocks. He was really good against the Nuggets, too.
Yeah, he just sort of continues to do his thing, occasionally hitting a three. Mm-hmm. But really, it's just about running the floor, keeping possessions alive. You know, he's not so much of a turnover creator as some of the other guys, I'd say. But, like, him and Kem Birch, and you know, Kem Birch, as I wrote about in the story after the Phoenix game, was huge as helping contain Devin Booker on blitzes to cause two turnovers that broke a tie game, and a game, frankly, that the Raptors looked like they were going to give away. I think he's certainly shown some more life on this road trip, even going up in Denver and catching an alley-oop pass that I did not think he was going to catch.
Neither.
A day after he talked about, you know, the maintenance required to keep his knee, you know, playable. He's been better. Boucher's been better. But yeah, Achiuwa, in terms of, like, long-term outlook, and we can and have done, you know, parts of podcasts before that get into his weaknesses and the things he needs to develop. But I think there have been times, and this is probably the longest sustained time, where we can see why the Raptors are willing to live with those weaknesses. And it's intriguing.
It is very intriguing.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And he just looks really comfortable. And again, I think sometimes we can forget that when a young player, or an older player as well, but especially a young player, comes to a new situation, it is going to take some time. Just them getting to know their situation, the schemes, their teammates, but also just getting comfortable. And I know I keep talking about the difference since the All-Star game, but maybe it isn't the All-Star game at all. Maybe it's just that there's been some time.
Nick Nurse also keeps on talking about the Rising Stars game, and, you know, like, it was the most transformative moment in his life. And
Precious says
who
that?
Am I to say it wasn't? Who am I to say it wasn't? I don't know.
You said Precious says that?
No, Nick Nurse says it about Precious.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was, or maybe it's just that he's had some time. But whatever it is, looks good, awesome to see, and I'm happy for him. Also happy for Stanley Johnson.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I really had to force the Stanley Johnson excited on the bench wearing sunglasses meme last night. I was I was ready for it, and there was like really no great moment to use it. He's playing super hard, and was not one of the Lakers who quit on that game. Mm-hmm. Quit is too strong, but
the start was just really bad. The team did not, the Lakers didn't quit throughout the game. Also, LeBron ended up playing 40 minutes in that game, which was crazy. I didn't.
Yeah. You know, it's a problem.
Yeah.
When, so close, 4 seconds fewer than Fred VanVleet. I was going to say, which is a bit yikes in itself, but I was going to say, you know, it's a problem when you're playing more minutes than any Raptor in a game.
Speaking of memes,
hold on, before we finish the Precious conversation, I must say, so you said he was feeling himself, I think at the beginning of the Lakers game. I don't really recall it. Anyway, talking to Fred VanVleet Monday morning at shoot around at UCLA, shout out Norman Powell. Doug Smith and I were talking to him, and Fred on about Precious says, they finally found a player more confident in himself than me.
Oh, that's incredible. Okay, I'm glad you did say that. Speaking of Fred and speaking of memes, you were talking about the Stanley Johnson meme. Has there ever been a more perfect moment for meme ability for the Raptors than Fred VanVleet with his hands clasped together in prayers, smiling, huge smile on his face, staring up at the sky after the Raptors beat the Nuggets?
It's very good.
It's incredible. I laugh every time I see it.
Yeah, I'm just looking for a particular quote here from Fred.
We are so prepared over here.
Well, it's only because like the praying or the mock praying it's very indicative of the vibes again, which I wrote about, like, how weird is this team? Like, so I asked Fred, and I haven't used this quote yet. You're getting all this fresh content on Jurassic Pod today. So the gist of my piece is like, I have no idea what to expect about this with this team. Mm-hmm. So I asked Fred a day after I wrote it. It probably would have been smarter to ask him a day before I wrote it, but you know, these, you got to take your shots when you can. Like Precious, I understand that. And so I asked Fred, do you know what to expect from this team on a night-to-night basis? And he says, our group? No. You never know. You never know. It could go a lot of different ways. I think more bad than good most of the time, which is how we're in the position that we're in. Ugh. You just never know. It's a lot of unknowns, a lot of guys' first experiences, first run. Certainly our group's first time together. We've won in a lot of different ways, which is good, and we've lost in a lot of different ways. So I have a good idea, a good pulse of the team most of the time. So I'm never really surprised, but like I said before, we're kind of at the mercy of some of the other guys, at their mercy, how they show up. You never know. And I know that sounds negative, but he was asked, like, at their mercy. It's like, yeah, I think, you know, they're just growing. They're just growing into their roles. You've got a guy like Scotty who looks like a 10-year vet sometimes. Got a guy like Precious, and that's where he said, and they finally found somebody who might have more confidence than me. You never know. And I think that's the Raptors.
We say this a lot, but, like, Fred is the best quote in the NBA, and it's not close.
Yeah, it's just like such honesty,
he's
right?
So like you would so aware. Like, and if you want to have like a guy who's your leader, number one, every single person in the NBA respects Fred VanVleet, from, you know, bench player, rookie to
superstar.
Yeah,
LeBron was the, like, he sorry, go ahead.
Just because of what he's created for himself. But to have a leader that also understands the journey for players, like the fact that he doesn't, I'm sure he gets frustrated sometimes, but he would never,
that quote showed it. Yes.
For sure. But he's never going to like take that out on a player because he understands that this is part of the journey and this is part of the growth. Incredible leader. Incredible, incredible quote. Please say what you were going to say about LeBron.
Yeah. It's like during the game, Fred was like the one Raptor who LeBron didn't look at like with disdain. Now LeBron was looking at his own teammates with disdain, so like, I again don't take that personally, but like when Siakam got upset, mm-hmm. like LeBron was, well, anyway, we don't need to revisit that. But like Fred, I think, was making, like, along with peacemaking after that Siakam moment, was also making the case like for his team. And I think that's why Fred can say what he does, because he's not going to do it in a super showy way, but he's also, you know, he's going to stand up for his teammates. He's going to make sure they're all right. And yeah, like it's, I know it can come across. I know it does come across to some fans. It's like, why does he have to be this honest, or like can feel like he's putting himself like in a different class than his teammates?
Do you think people think that?
I know at least some people do, and I won't
commenters
expand.
Well, they need to look
anyway, but I don't think most people do, but I think there's an element of that. But like, that's the reality of this team, is like Ian Pascal have seen a lot and been through a lot, and Pascal is one type of personality, and Fred is very much a different type of personality outward. And so Fred can call it as he sees it while still lifting his teammates up and putting themselves in. It never comes across as calling them out, I guess, is how it seems to me. It's like, this is the reality, but I get it, and it's good. That's how I take it.
I think that it works because Fred will also call himself out in that exact same way. Like, yes, he's not he doesn't put himself above anything. If he's playing crappy, he's going to say it. If he's going to say the things that, like, you know, fell into his lap that he didn't do, he takes responsibility. But yeah, I listen, Eric, it's Fred VanVleet over everything.
It's funny. I was going to, because you said he doesn't put himself ahead of anything. So I was going to say Kyle Lowry over everything, Fred VanVleet over nothing. but you came back and corrected it. Before we wrap this up, Fred did return from his five-game absence with his knee injury. He, as we said, he sat out the Phoenix game on a back-to-back, was questionable, then upgraded to probable, and then played, obviously, against the Lakers. He has not been great offensively. He was very good last night, even though some of his shots weren't falling. But, you know, 3 for 14 and 2 for 12 from three are what they are. Still had 11, 7, and 7 and was a plus 21. So, you know, I'm not overly concerned. But look, I think the hope was that he would take those games off and be rejuvenated. And it's clear that this is just going to be a situation that he has to manage for the rest of the year. I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
Clarify, you did say that he sat in Phoenix. He played in Phoenix. He sat in Denver.
Thank you.
Just because.
Yeah.
Someone
yeah.
will probably correct that, so I'll just do it here.
You idiot!
but
you've been in 7 time zones in 4 days. How can you screw that up? That's my voice for those people.
I'm just doing that to save you the.
You're so dumb.
Yeah. yeah, it's not great. And I think this was our concern during the earlier parts of the season, most of the season, when Fred was playing so many minutes, leading the league in minutes per game. Or was it minutes per game or total minutes?
Minutes per game.
Minutes per game.
Because he was missing some.
Yeah. yeah. Good call there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not worried about the shooting. Like, that is, you know, maybe it's just that he's getting the rest off, coming back, getting into a rhythm, whatever. Da, 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 da. His presence obviously helps this team immensely, and he can do so many other things. But I'm more just worried about him. Like, how is he going to be able to manage it? Is it going to be something he's going to have to continue to manage? Or will that time off, like, start to help if his minutes are able to stay under 40, which they didn't last night? But yeah, I think that's definitely
where I'm noticing. Sorry, go on.
I just think it's definitely something to watch. I will say to watch rather than be concerned, because I don't want to be doom and gloom. But me personally, when it comes to Fred VanVleet, my concern level is always high. Continue. Go ahead.
I think not so much last night, because the Lakers are a mess. But at various points, his defense has looked a step below where we expect it to. And I think in terms of what it's affecting, I would say that's the number one thing, which is kind of okay because they need him more for what he allows them to do on offense. Mm-hmm. None of it is ideal. Like, I'm not trying to like say it's fine, but like, yeah, like they're, that's how I've seen it play out, I would say. On a similar front, again, OG Anunoby saw a doctor again in Los Angeles. I believe it was in Los Angeles because that's where he initially saw a specialist for his fractured ring finger. And the hope was that about 2 weeks would allow the injury to fully heal. It is not fully healed. It is not clear whether how much time, if any more time available in this season, will allow it to fully heal. He was going through a workout pregame on Monday. Plan is for him to practice on Tuesday heading into the Clippers game. And they're just going to see how much it's bothering him, what he can do, what he can't do. I'm sure where his fitness level is at, and then make a decision from there. So it's, you know, the update is there's no real update, and it didn't get better to the degree they hoped. I'm guessing we'll see him pretty soon based on that. But these things can change. Any thoughts?
I think that it's disappointing, obviously. I'm sure he's really disappointed and frustrated.
Why won't his finger heal? Get me a doctor.
I just hope if he does come back that it's healed to a point where he's okay and not worried about hurting it further. That's all.
Yeah, it's tough.
It like, just if feels
feeling,
like
OG if you're has... feeling it every time you're touching the ball or releasing the ball, like that sucks. It's a hard way in a very difficult sport. NBA basketball is difficult to live. And it's such a specific thing. Like it's not like back soreness where you feel it, but you don't necessarily. Like, it just is there. But, like, I assume with a finger injury, it disappears while you're not touching anything. And soon then you're constantly reminded of it.
As soon as you catch that ball. And I know going into All-Star, we had kind of talked about his shooting. And he'd had some games where he had some good, really good fourth quarter, you know, like a three-pointer or something. But, like, his shooting had been down. His scoring had been down. Well, there was a reason for that. So again, just another reminder that often when a player is struggling or doesn't seem to be themselves, there's often things that we don't know on the outside. I think the biggest thing with the Raptors, with any team, but especially with the Raptors when their core is so important and integral to their success, as this season is coming to a close, the regular season, you need to have the main guys healthy going into whether it's the play-in or the actual playoffs. Without that, there's no, like, it doesn't matter. So I think that has to be the priority, whether that means resting Fred on back-to-backs or giving him rest if he's sore, whether that means OG staying out like for a longer amount of time, whatever you need to do to have those guys ready to be on the court and playing to the best of their ability at that time is what you have to prioritize.
Yeah. Right and now. I think the question becomes, will any amount of time within the season get them to where they need to be? Because if not, then it becomes a management thing and you do the best you can while acknowledging that these games do have importance and you try to make the best of an imperfect situation, which is all any of us can really do, Holly. The week ahead, the Raptors finish their trip at it doesn't feel as fun to call it the Crypt when the Lakers aren't playing. But yeah, they finish it against the Clippers on Wednesday night. Then they return home for their old pal LeBron and the Lakers. See how they're, what the vibes are there. And then another back on the road, Holly, an unfriendly two-game road trip in Philly and Chicago. You have helpfully provided the Cavs schedule. Thank you. Their schedule is Philadelphia, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles. I don't know which Los Angeles you're talking
Lakers,
about.
Oh, Lakers, sorry.
Thank you. That would make sense because they just played the Clippers. And you're asking me to, A, predict what the Raptors are going to do.
Yes.
Which I just wrote a long column saying that is stupid. doing that is pointless and dumb. I will say,
isn't everything pointless and dumb?
I know, but that's like they're so unknowable that like, what are we doing here?
Eric, the past 2 years have broken me. Continue.
Yeah, I'll say they beat the Clippers, beat the Lakers, and then lose both in Philadelphia and Chicago. That's pretty chalk, I think.
I think they're going to, I agree, but I think they're going to win in Chicago.
That's the one I was thinking about. Now it's a back-to-back, but again, the Raptors make no sense. So, like, why should that matter? Like, Van Vliet, by the way, we talked about Van Vliet maybe sitting on back-to-backs. It's not clear that that's how the Raptors are going to operate. So I don't want to say that that's how they're going to manage it, but that is one of only two back-to-backs remaining for the Raptors. Mm-hmm. The other one is two home games. The rare, but I think second this year, back-to-back home game. So I'm going to say they won't catch up to the Clippers, the Cavs for sixth. I do think that it will be a position that the game, I think it's March 24th, if memory serves, against Cleveland, is still very much integral and interesting. And the Raptors will certainly have something to play for in terms of advancing their status as opposed to just keeping seventh. Mm-hmm. By the way, Evan Mobley, holy crap. He was so good at the end of that game against the Clippers. But we don't have time to...
The rookie race. Scotty has really been pushing.
Yeah, I mean, he's pushing. Like, I still think Mobley's going to get him in the end. Cade Cunningham also coming in and, like basically flirting with triple-doubles every night now. really good. I think just for how much he's... I mean, I feel like any way of wording this is like cheapening to Mobley and Barnes. Like, they've both been great. Mm-hmm. Mobley's probably been steadier throughout the season, and that is why I think he will win. But Barnes, like, at this rate, is going to win. We're only halfway through the month, but like he's going to win his second rookie of the month in a row potentially. Mm-hmm. And momentum is a thing that
momentum is a funny thing.
But also when there's a word for this theory or principle, when something takes hold in the mind, like Evan Mobley is the rookie of the year front runner, which I think is correct. Mm-hmm. That's how most voters would be thinking. It takes a lot to supplant that in the mind. There are no signs of Mobley doing something to diminish his case. So Barnes is really going to have to take it from him and give him credit. He's trying. I mean, he's not trying because of that, but
my play has been motivated by wanting to win this NBA season award and not for my teammates or the wins. I'm here for the stats.
More specifically, imagine if Scotty Barnes said that. That'd be great.
Oh, man.
I gotta go. I gotta get to UCLA. Oh,
okay.
Holly, it's good to chat with you.
you too. I don't know what you were going to say. You made me very nervous.
I don't know what I'm going to say either. Everything's fine. I didn't have COVID an hour ago, so I probably still don't. Woo! All right. Holly, have a good week. We'll catch up after the back-to-back in Philly and Chicago next Tuesday. Listeners, thank you. Check out The Athletic. Sale still going on as far as I know.
Subscribe to The Athletic.
Thank you. Anything you want to plug before we're out the door?
I'm good.
All right. Thank you for listening. We'll get back to you next week. See ya.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.